All right, Gabrielle, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm super pumped.
I'm pumped as well. Thanks for having me, Derek.
You know, I knew, for everyone who's listening, this is at least the second thing that we've done together. You did a talk for the Next Level Sales Leadership Summit earlier this summer. You're actually sort of the inspiration for this podcast because your talk, it was just like you and I hanging out. You didn't miss the
Yes.
talking, which will always make sense. But, after that, I was like, it would just be cool to have people on and do this all the time, sort of for the same target market. But could you kick us off by just telling us a bit about your history and how you landed where you are now?
Yeah, 100%. So, a little bit about my history. I started off in tech sales back in 2015, initially as a sales development rep. I knew I wanted to get into sales. I figured it would lead me down the career that I wanted to go down. And now 5 years later, I've gone from being an SDR to being a sales development manager to also doing sales enablement management. And so now just focus on managing SDRs. I'm like, well, I'm done trying to balance multiple plates all at one time. But SDR management is what I'm doing at the moment. I've been an SDR manager for the better part of 3 years now. And funny enough, I'll be starting a new role as an SDR manager at Gong. So by the
Yeah.
time people are actually listening to this, I will already be there.
Cool. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Really cool company. How did you know you wanted to be a manager? Like, how did you make that happen?
Ooh, I don't think that I knew that I wanted to be a manager, but I knew that I could, I knew what it took to be successful as a sales development rep. And so back when I was an SDR, I had quickly kind of asserted myself as one of the top performing reps based on the results. And the manager that I had at the time was chatting with me one day and was like, hey, once you figure out how to operationalize your success and essentially create a structure that people can follow, like that's really when more opportunities are gonna present themselves for you. So maybe a year and a half after I had gotten that recommendation, I was in an op like I was at a company that was gonna be hiring for an SDR manager. I was an SDR. I had a lot of opinions and a lot of ideas as to how sales development should be done, how we should structure it, how we should enable the SDRs, just like what the end-to-end, top-to-bottom program is gonna look like. So that's really when I raised my hand and I said, hey, I think I can do a really good job of building up this program out. So I don't think I really knew for sure, like, oh, I'm gonna be a manager, I'm gonna be in leadership, but I knew that I had a lot of thoughts and opinions as to how things should be. So when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, oh yes, like let me give it a go.
So you went straight to whoever, like the head of your boss, and said,
Yeah.
give me a shot. I want to do this.
Yeah, so I had raised I had funny enough, I was talking to Kevin Dorsey like a couple weeks ago about coming in number one, raising your hand, and he challenged me to not just raise my hand but also to raise my voice, right? So like for me, it wasn't just a matter of like, oh hey, like I'm here, look at me. It was, hey, to the VP of sales, somebody who had come on board 2 weeks after I joined the organization. And at that time, there was not an SDR, there was not a dedicated sales development manager. So in that first meeting that I had with our new VP of sales, I was like, hey, here's what I've done thus far. Here's what I have the potential to do. And here's how I see that looking here specifically at Cloud Ability. So 2 months later, the job post comes up for an SDR manager. And I remember waiting for somebody to say, hey, we talked about this 2 months ago. That never happened. So I end up having to raise my voice again. I'm not yelling, right? But letting people know, hey, like here's what I've done in the past. Here's what I have the potential to do. Here's how I see things looking. And I would like to help, right? I would like to understand how I can move into this position and what you need to see from me in order to feel confident making that choice. So yeah, that was really what happened in order to get into the SDR manager position.
Cool. So you had to advocate for yourself and come up with a thoughtful, I don't know if plan is the right word, but like
Yes.
be
Yes,
thoughtful about what you do in the role.
I think whether it's raising your hand or making it known that you want a promotion to become a manager, or anytime that you're trying to present a new idea, coming up with a here's what it will look like, right? Here's how we get there, and here's what I need from you. If you have that kind of clearly mapped out and you're able to clearly articulate that, like I do believe that's going to be incredibly influential in getting you to that place that you want to be, or seeing that idea that you have manifest. So that is the process that I went through, was, again, sending out an email, like, here's my results, like, from the, like, for the past however many years it is, here's what I'm most, like, you know, here's how I can make an impact right now. Like, help me understand, like, what do you need to see from me in order to feel confident and comfortable moving me into this position? What happened after that was, let's do a business plan. So much in the same way, if you were to interview for an SDR manager at a lot of companies, right, and it's not just an internal promotion, there's usually a part, like, usually the final interview is a business plan or 30, 60, 90 day plan of how are you going to get yourself up to being successful, and how are you going to prepare the team to be successful in a sustainable way.
Cool. And were they interviewing external candidates as well?
I think so, but I might have been the only person who interviewed, for all I know. So, but and I think that's an important piece here, because, so, you know, I came up with the business plan. I presented it to our VP of sales. So the panel, right, who I was presenting to was our VP of sales, our head of revenue operations, our director of sales, our chief marketing officer, our VP of marketing, as well as our head of HR, right? So, like, that was the panel. And what I had shared with them was this, you know, this 30, 60, 90 day plan. I had all the details just in case they asked me any questions that weren't initially on the prompt. And the final piece was the close. And so nobody was asking me to close, but my part was, what I asked them at the end of this presentation was, you know, like, help me understand, like, again, what is it that you need to see from me, right? Or what else do you need to see from me in order to feel confident that I am the absolute best person and that you should move me forward? And I also kind of, like, almost, like, you know, stuck the knife in and then turned it a little bit more when I started to paint the picture for them as to, here's why you should not hire externally. Like, think about the cost, think about the ramp up. Like, I already possess kind of, like, that domain knowledge. I know our internal processes. I already know the team. I'm so much more, like, I'm so farther along than any other external hire will be. And ask yourself, like, what is that going to cost you, or what are you not going to be able to do should you go and explore that other option? So, like, that's the piece for the internal hire, right? But I definitely have lost job opportunities because they promoted internally when I was coming in as an external hire. So I've definitely, sure, like, suffered both ways.
But you did a good job of answering that objection before it came up when you were the one, when you're advocating, yeah, yourself.
Yeah. And also, I think as a first-time manager, one of the biggest objections that you should prepare yourself for, or if you're an aspiring manager who doesn't have people manager experience, is, are you mature enough to get into that position? Especially if you're a younger person. I got promoted to a manager when I had just turned 26. So there's going to be a question around maturity. There's going to be a question around, like, are you going to know how to manage people? I think there's also going to, I think those are really the two big things. It's going to come from a matter of, like, you know, not having experience. And is this organization, if it's an internal promotion, right, is this organization feel confident and comfortable that you possess kind of the qualities and that raw talent in order to succeed in a management position? So, like, the more that you can prepare for that objection, the better position I believe you'll be in.
Cool. And how did you learn to manage people?
Through trial and error, honestly. No, like, I think one of the disservices that I did for myself, the biggest disservice that I had for myself, was expecting to know exactly what I was doing without ever having done it. So, and that just, like, puts a lot of stress on. So one of the things that I kind of wish that I had done more, but maybe did a little bit, was recognize there's going to be things that I don't know and I don't know what to do. So it could be everything from, how do I know when to put somebody on a coaching plan versus a performance improvement plan? How do I know when to kind of, like, you know, pull the cord on an underperformer or somebody who's not really abiding by the operating principles of this company? What happens when we have a top performer who might want to leave the company, you know, or doesn't feel challenged by the role? So for me, I'm like, I had never experienced those conversations from the management point of view. So I have a couple of options. I can either try and wing my way through it and see what happens, right? Or I can go and ask for help, right? And I can go to folks who have maybe already done the job before, who can offer some advice as to how to better approach those kind of situations. So that's why I think about the trial and errors. Like, there's times that I tried on my own and it didn't feel right. It wasn't a great response from somebody that I was managing. So I go back, I go to my mentors, my advisors, my boss, you know, those supportive people who provide productive and constructive feedback, and then try it again. And so taking notes, documenting the process, thinking through like, all right, well, what is the objective that I'm trying to get to? And as I'm communicating with people, whether that's the people I'm managing or the kind of cross-functional peers that I have, like, are we driving towards that objective or is there something getting in the way? So it's like, all right, if there's something getting in the way, like, here's how I can adjust my approach next time and see if that might work. So it really is just a matter of like A/B testing different approaches depending on what the situation is presenting.
So can you tell us a little bit more about one of the errors, right? On the trial and error side, like mistake that you made, a time you put your foot in your mouth, something like that.
I think my first time being a manager, so this is Cloudability era, 2016 or early 2017. And I had a person on my team who the best way to, I don't want to like talk bad about anyone, but I think one of the challenging parts was going from a peer to now being somebody's manager, someone's boss. And especially if that peer is someone who's been at the company longer than you, right? So I think in that kind of situation, if that person feels as though they have power in the situation because of how long they've been at the company, or maybe they've gotten better results, something on those lines, like to meet that person with that same energy of like, hey, like they're coming in with a power move and now I'm going to come up with a power move. We're never going to really come to the same page. So for me, I think one of the challenges was I need to better understand how to de-escalate situations rather than pour fire on them. So like that to me was like, so whether it was, again, like someone doesn't agree with how, like with a new territory model, right? And how do we de-escalate that situation? How do we reassure them that they're still going to be successful versus it coming off as though, all right, hey, all this change is happening. There's all this chaos that's happening. And this person is all of a sudden defensive. I misinterpreted that person's defensiveness as a personal attack against me and not just this person reacting to a very chaotic situation. So and that showed up in a bunch of different ways, but like that to me was like the biggest source of frustration as like a first time manager. It's like, why is this person not agreeing with me? Why don't they like me? They're not going to work on my team. It's like, oh no, my job as a manager is really to help them understand. Well, number one, it's to roll out plans that should improve productivity and performance, right? Mm-hmm. And then share that vision and reinforce it over and over again, that it's like, hey, like this is, we're going to create conditions for you to be that much more successful, and reassure them along the way rather than saying, listen to me and listen to me now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good point. You can't fight fire with fire. It just doesn't work.
I've been reading this book, Pitch Anything by Orrin Claff or mm-hmm. Claff, whatever his last name is. And there's this idea of frames, right? And that everybody's going to come into a certain situation. As soon as you have two people, each person is going to have their own like kind of frame of reference, their frame of mind. And in that, like when you're coming into like the same area and you're trying to have a conversation with someone, it's those frames that can start to be combative. So it's either like, I have a choice. I'm either going to just combat this person and like, what is that actually going to do? Or is it maybe taking a step back, better understanding like what this person's frame of reference is, where are they coming from? Are they worried about this change because they've been at another organization where there was a territory change and they lost their job? Like, are they just responding to like things that happened in the past and it has absolutely nothing to do with me or the situation right now? Or, you know, like, or is there something that I might be missing because they have a better perspective or closer to perspective to something that I haven't yet considered? So I think I had to take a step away from just seeing my frame of reference as the end all be all and say, all right, this person can actually help me better understand how to roll this out effectively if it's a new plan, or it's also an opportunity for me to engage in a way that builds more trust and confidence between the person I'm managing, right, and me, because I'm taking the time to listen to them and really understand where they're coming from rather than just assuming and making a judgment as to what their frame of mind is.
So how do you open that up? How do you uncover somebody's frame?
I think this is kind of, it's like discovery, right? I think more than anything else, you want to understand people's like motivations and drives and aspirations. I think that's really all where it starts. But in order to get that information out, it takes time. It's almost, I don't think it's appropriate to say like a boss and the person who's reporting to them. It's not like a romantic relationship, but think about like if you're going dating with somebody, you need to build up a relationship and build up rapport and learn about that person before you're able to truly commit to being in a relationship with them. And so to come into a situation and just because you have a title doesn't mean that you have a relationship with this person. So like just because I'm a manager and I'm their boss, like it's like I still need to go through the work and show, hey, I'm personally invested in your success. Now, but the thing is, I need to understand what success means for you. So over the course of the next however much time, like I would like for us to talk through and maybe even do some exercises to further reveal like what does success mean for you and what's the best path to getting to that. So like that is a dynamic process. There are like questionnaires that I'll ask people at the very beginning. So if this company that I'm just left, Infutor, when I first came in, I did a new manager questionnaire with the reps. I inherited a team of three people. And so in this questionnaire, I'm asking like, what are your goals for the next year, 3 years, 10 years? Then I wanted to know like what had been promised to them, right? Have there been promises around raises or promotions or increased responsibility, something along those lines? Like, help me understand like where are you tracking to that? When are you expecting these kind of things? Like, why is that actually happening? And so the more you can dig into like, well, hey, you told me that your 1 year plan is to do this. Like, why? Why is that important? What is that opening up to you? And I want to make more money. Why? Where is that money going to go? Oh, I want to buy a new house because like, that's incredibly important to me. It's like, okay, cool. Well, what do you need to get there? And what does that mean? Like, what results do you need to hit this year? What were your results last year? How are we going to bridge that gap? And so now you've become a partner in their success. And they're like, oh shit, I'm not alone in this. I got somebody who like understands what, like why I'm moving the way that I'm moving and where I'm moving. So like, and that to me is like where we can actually drive alignment.
Wow, that's solid.
I was like, did I black out a little bit when I said that?
So I read Pitch Anything like 5 years ago and I'm like, I don't remember any of it. So thanks for the refresher.
Oh yeah, no worries. I'm only on page 30 right now.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stuff in here. I haven't gotten into like specific tactics, but there are a lot of concepts in there where it's like, oh, this is definitely good to know.
Yeah. Smart dude. I remember thinking he was really smart and I tried to implement some of the things, but I couldn't tell you what they were. So I have no idea if they worked or not, you know, long time ago.
That's all right.
What would you say, Gabrielle, what would you say is your superpower as a leader?
I've gotten this question. Maybe, have you asked me this question? You might've asked me this question. I don't know. I've gotten this question a few times in the past few months. I think I really, really like this idea of attuning to another person. And so, and I'm probably going to butcher like what attunement actually means, but the way that I conceptualize it is it's almost like, imagine like a mother and her baby, right? The baby can't talk. Baby can't tell you whether it's hungry or not. And so this mother has an option. Like this baby is crying. It's freaking out. Doesn't know, like can't articulate itself. The mother can either be like, F all of this. I don't know, like walk out of that room. And that baby is basically going to learn that, hey, my needs are never going to be met. So why even speak up? Like that's going to be like, that's the reinforcement that's happening. Or this mother can attune to the baby, right? And make an attempt to better understand the baby, recognizing that this baby is not yet in a place to articulate itself. So like what this mother is going to do is respond to what's happening, right? And try different, almost like different stimulus out to see like, all right, is this what's going to help soothe the baby and get this baby back into like kind of a calmer state, into a more comfortable state? And like that to me is what I think my superpower is with my reps. Because I'm like, if I got a rep, and again, like if this rep is like, hey, I don't feel challenged, I want to leave, I want to, but I can either say bye You know, I could say bye. Right. And like, so maybe the rep doesn't actually want to leave. Maybe the rep hasn't yet understood how to articulate what's really going on. It's, hey, I really appreciate this environment. I really love this team, but yet I don't really know what my place is next. And can you help me figure that out? Right. So with me, I'm going to start asking some questions, like, or I'm going to say, hey, like, here are a few paths that I think are available, right? I'm going to give you some stimuli. Let's see what we can do to challenge you in the SDR role itself. I'm going to go and have conversations and, like, let's get you prepared for that next role through some kind of enablement planning or program. If those, like, let's at least go through these things and then keep in touch along the way and kind of track what that engagement is like, what that morale is like, what your enthusiasm for the role, what your commitment for the role or this company looks like. And also know that if you truly don't see a place for yourself here, like, that's okay. And we will, I will be personally invested in getting you to a spot where you do feel like you can engage and commit, like, whatever that is. And that means, like, recommendations, helping with the resume, getting you, like, interviews, introduced, like, socializing your resume all over the place. So, like, that to me is, like, a certain process of attuning to that person, really understanding what's going on and trying to further reveal, like, okay, well, what's really going on here? And, like, let's agree on what this piece is before I just start dismissing anything.
Wow. Okay. And that's sort of the same thing you were talking about before, where it's like a discovery conversation.
It is. I think one of the things, like, a first time, okay, let's kind of contextualize this in sales. What, like, the difference in my mind, there's more, I'm going to make this super simple, right? So the difference between a rep who's been at a company for 5 years, like a sales rep, an AE, and a rep who just got to the company, right? I think the main difference is the insights that a rep who's, it's not just a rep who just do, like, you know, coming in, checking in and checking out. The difference between the two, it might be just a matter of insights that they developed through those 5 years tenure at this organization. So it's going to be like the product, the accumulation of insights developed through having conversations and seeing a lot of things, just a matter of exposure, right? And so this new rep might not have that confidence that insight would bring. Like, I was like, all right, hey, I'm learning everything. I haven't quite understood all the different use cases our platform can support. I'm not familiar with all the different ways that our customers are leveraging our platform. And so therefore can't provide those insights. Same thing goes for a new manager, right? The difference between a new manager and maybe more experienced manager is I've just had a lot more conversations, right, with these people. So, like, once I'm more familiar with those conversations and what to expect from it, I can have a better response to it. So it's like, all right, hey, like, I can't tell you how many times I'm struggling with managing my time. Like, conversations are so, like, it happens all the time. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, this to me, I have an automatic response to it now. So, and then I also can better, given the fact that I've had those conversations so many times, have had a chance to see what's working, what's not working, I can also provide options for all the different personalities that I might come across as I'm managing different people and potentially in different teams.
Well, what's something that you wish you would have done it earlier, or you could recommend it to somebody who, say, wants to learn faster than just the experience of having the conversations and screwing up and trying again?
So here's what I think has been super beneficial to me right now, right? So, I mean, I think there is one piece where, like, experience has truly helped me build confidence. I think that's, like, one key piece. And so I think you can learn a bunch of stuff, right? You can go to all the conferences, you can have the mentors and things like that, and also probably feel as though you're failing because you have nothing to compare yourself against. So I think with that, like, what I wish that I had done, or something that I wish I had known, is that it's okay to not know all of the answers. It's okay to not know everything. You don't need to. I wish that I had, like, if I can go back in time, I wish I had, like, delegated more. I wish I had said no more. Like, I wish that I would, like, manage my time a little bit better. I wish that I had gone and found not just any and all mentors, but really great mentors who were going to align very well with how I talked, how I thought, how I presented myself. It's like, if you have a mentor who's just judging you, like, that's not helpful. It's like, I'm already beating myself up. I don't need to include somebody else in here to beat me up as well. So that's like, that was the experience for me, right? Because when I first became a manager, what I feel like my biggest struggle was, I like kind of like lacked faith in myself, or like didn't believe in my ability to eventually figure things out. Like that took some time to really develop that.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of this. Man, I just love having you on. So thanks so much for coming to do this.
Yeah, no problem. No, thanks for having me on board. I love talking about this stuff. So thanks for creating the stage to do it.
Of course. Hey, where can people learn more about you?
So the only social media you will ever find me on is LinkedIn. So just look up the sales development Sastress, Gabrielle Blackwell, linkedin.com/in/Gabrielle Blackwell. That's my profile. So that's where you can find me.
Cool. I'll also include that in the show notes, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll probably like the Next Level Private Mastermind. It's a small group of newish sales leaders who are helping each other grow faster and become better. Each week, we cover a specific topic and troubleshoot actual issues new leaders run into. The link is in the show notes, or go to derekjankowski.com/mastermind. Thanks.